Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, very fucking tired. And with me, who is also very fucking tired, is Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Pretty much always tired, so there's no difference. But yeah, getting up on a work night to watch the EPL at 1 a.m. is not a good idea. It was a good idea as I'm a Chelsea fan, so happy about that, but not a good idea for my Monday productivity. But anyway, here we are.
Villa were robbed. That's all I'll say.
Yes, we'll go
on to the group winner, Paddo, and it is Scott yet again with his team black on white. What did he score? Who did he have? Break it down for us, Paddo.
Yeah, so back-to-back winner, which is pretty impressive. So good job, Scott. He scored 2,538. Overall rank of 648 after those two really good scores in a row. So he's flying, and he's got some nice PODs in the team as well. So in defense, he has Zorko, Sinclair, and Ash, Lockie Ash, which is an interesting one. Yeah, he got the fake primo in there, though, but still did well. Had to get that in there, Dano. Missed a junk time as well. I don't know how he got fucking that 25 points at the end. Anyway, in the midfield, Libba, Neil, Dawson, and Ned Long did really well for him. The ruck line of Gorn and Cherry, you can't go wrong at all. As Marshall and his flex as well, which luckily came in for his Simpson on field. VC Cherry captained Gorn, so I like the kahunas on him to back in the big man. And the forward line, Nick Martin, Bailey Smith, and Petrarca did really well for him. So great job, Scott, on getting the weekly yet again.
Yeah. Do we want to go over our scores, Paddo?
I forgot to put it in there, but we better.
Yeah, my week was absolutely trash. I'll start with mine because I've been going good. Basically, just all of the ground I made up, I lost in 1 week. So my score was an absolutely abysmal 21.62, Paddo. Absolutely shit house. And to be honest, it actually started off all right. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in for a good week here. Had Libba, VC'd him, 129. I was like, oh, I wish it was a little bit higher, but that's okay. Yeah, just things just did not take off. I still had Jack Sinclair with his 143, but then like guys like Jordan Clark, 86, Brayshaw, 96, Harry Sheasel, 63, Matty Flynn finally sputtered at 46, Rankin, 87, Warner, 84, Ryan Marrick, 49, Paddo. Shea Bolton debuted for me, got a 73. He was on 7 halfway, I think it was the 17-minute mark of the second quarter. He was on 7, so he had a massive second half, but not that great. And I had Clay Hall at flex because I just did not have enough players that would actually fucking play. So Lucky Neal's 143, Noah Anderson's 113 and shit. But yeah, just like Max Hall and that just sputting. So it wasn't a good week at all, Paddo. So I ended up dropping significantly in the ranks. I actually lost 3,500 places basically to go to 7,127 season rank. So not happy, Jan.
Yeah, so I scored 22.81 on the weekend. Simpson was my flex, which is really frustrating. But anyway, injuries are unfortunately part of the game. It was him or Erasmus, and I chose Simpson, which was very frustrating. Season rank of 21,500 or so. So I did go up a little bit in the ranking, but still not great. I'm not mad at my team, though. I did end up bringing in Bontempelli. Which, of course, in hindsight, he only scored 107 and he has to buy this week. But I'm still okay with that trade in, even on the buy this week. But I, my captain was Cherry, who I was happy with to have gone, but that's fine. Glad I've held on to Roberts. He is 90 is fine as a D6. He will end up being my D6. Sinclair and Zorko did really well for me. I had Tom Gross on field, Dano, and those that follow me on X will know. I was very happy, retweeted that he's actually playing a full game. He was actually scoring more in 25 minutes as a sub. So that was pretty gross. So thanks, Tom Gross, for that eight. Just putrid. Other than that, I'm really happy with how my team went. I had Cleary up forward for a 40. That wasn't great, but I mean, 40 is better than what Simpson did for me in the flex spot. But Lindsay is a really nice hold. He is a buy hold now. But Matty Rao's come good. Patrick Cripps has come good. Lockie Neal's done well. Brayshaw's getting a bit of attention, but that's fine. That was always expected. Yeah, Petrarca and Smith up forward did great for me. Bolton also had the 73. I brought him in as well, Dano. But, I mean, you take the good with the bad with Shea Bolton. He made some cash, and I think he'll continue making some cash. And he'll have a spike score for us at some stage. I didn't catch the game, but I'm guessing he had a bit of attention from Port Adelaide.
No. That was what was worse. No. He didn't have any attention. It was just real wet weather footy, and it did not suit him.
Well, he's up on the Gold Coast this weekend, so.
Yeah, but his second half was massive, so he saved face in that second half. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on to injuries and suspensions, Paddo, and you've mentioned Cooper Simpson. I'm so thankful that I even said to Peter from Nerds for Life, super coach, that I was going to wait a week on Simpson, even if he went up in price. And yeah, shit times.
Did you actually wait?
Yeah, I held. Fuck. I did not bring him in.
That's crazy.
I know. I got kissed on the dick there. Yeah, so he's shoulder 10 weeks. Not good shit. Bailey Smith, though, Paddo. Now, you've said shin TBA. I've heard other things that he might get rested for other reasons, and I didn't even realise that he injured his shin.
Yeah, it's a weird situation because in a post-game interview, he said that he wasn't going to play, and if he was playing any other team other than his former team, then there's no way he would have played. He said he had four jabs in his shin just to get up for the game. So there's a bit of context there. But then Chris Scott, ever the lying fuckwit, said that he didn't know anything about a shin injury and he was always going to play. And he and is it Andrew Mackie, the footy director down at Geelong, like neither of them knew anything about it. Like, who knows? I don't think Bailey Smith is lying. I think he's a little bit too honest, and Chris Scott's just trying to hide that fact. But with a trip to Perth on the weekend against the woeful Eagles, I think he's in some doubt to play, which will suck on that first bye, but is what it is, I guess.
Now, you got Zach Reed here, hamstring awareness. Yes, he is aware that he has hamstrings. I thought sorry, I'm not even a dad here, you are. I thought that this one was just a clear trade because he's out.
I don't know if they've confirmed that, but he's got a break even of 99 and is 438K. So I feel like even if he wasn't subbed out with, and I don't know if he was subbed out actually, but maybe he was. Yeah, he was. He may well have been a sub out this week anyway, just to use that cash. But yeah, I think those that held on to him, kudos to you. I traded him out at like 280K, which really hurts. But yeah, GGs and thanks for your services.
Yep, I did the same, Paddo. I did the same. Sam Lawler, hamstring, 6 weeks, shit time. But, you know, if you held him, get rid of the fucker.
Yeah, so got him, get rid of him.
Callum Mills, Paddo, he was looking the goods in his limited game time, and then he did a dumb fuckery thing and got suspended for a week. Unless they challenge and get off, but...
Yeah, at this stage, he does have a week. Only had 14% CBAs. Obviously, they are... easing him in. I brought him into my fantasy team, which kind of sucks, but I don't really care too much about that format.
Fuck fantasy.
Yeah, it actually works out perfect now that he will now be on the bubble coming off his bye.
Yep.
So there's your D5, D6, everyone.
And then we got Sardell Hawley, did his hammy, did it in the VFL, shit times. Basically another dead rookie, Paddo.
Yeah, because he probably would have come in as well. They've got that many fucking injuries down at Essendon. I also want to say, I didn't say it on there because I don't actually know, but just purely looking at stats, Mitch Nevitt had like 3 touches and it doesn't look like he played that much. So I don't know what happened there. He may have picked up an injury. We'll see what they say on the injury list, which comes out tomorrow at time of recording. But knowing Geelong, they probably won't even report it. So... Who knows? It might even be a late in from outside the 23 because them and Collingwood can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, fair enough. Essendon, by the way, I just say Essendon's announced another debutant, Zach Johnson. Been playing off half-back flank, which explains why they bring him in because all they need is another half-back flank.
Yeah, they had one. They dropped him but after playing him on the wing.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, thought... That was an interesting one. I think it's 113K, but yeah, don't touch just yet. But speaking of which, this is segues into rookies, Paddo. So our first one, Campbell Gray, 119K defender / forward, minus 52 break even, 62 average. We're putting him on the run sheet because whenever it's Noah Belter's bedtime, he plays.
Yeah, his 2 games have literally been the 2 that Noah Belter missed. I feel like I should know this. I don't actually know if he's allowed to play on the weekend, Dana. I think they've got a 440 game in Sydney, and I don't know if he's allowed to travel or not.
Oh.
Because last week on the injury report, Richmond listed Noah Belter as curfew 2 weeks.
So is he only allowed to play Melbourne games?
Well, I don't know whether he has to be, like, home by, what is it, 9:30, 9 o'clock, whatever it is, or 10 o'clock. Meaning, like, home in his home state. Like, I don't actually know.
True. Interesting.
I should know, but I don't. But
Campbell Gray's covering him.
In saying that, Luke Troner did play forward on the weekend, so there's a possibility that Gray could still play with Belter. Also worth noting that Jacob Blight was pretty much best on ground on the weekend in the VFL for Richmond, so... It's a pretty stacked area for us, but he was really good. Scored 82 on the weekend, and he's got a really nice, juicy break even. But I feel like we have to get a little bit more creative with our cash gen, and we are going to talk about this tonight.
Yep, true. Next one's the one gamer, Angus Clark, 113K defender for Essendon, minus 50 break even, 97 he scored. Looked the goods, but can't play Richmond every week, Paddo, but they're pretty depleted down in defence for the Dons.
He played forward, kicked 5 goals or whatever it was.
Well, there you fucking go.
He's just a defender in Supercoach. I mean, who knows? He may play fullback for them on the weekend because they are... It's an interesting situation, which we're going to talk about very soon. But I actually don't... I actually don't think this is a good trade-in. They've got Brisbane this week, then Carlton, then Geelong, then Frio. It's a pretty shit run for key forwards. And Essendon are beating the bottom 10 teams and they're losing to the top 8 teams. And that's... Well... One of those teams are not in the top 8, even though they wish they were, but the other 3 are really tough matchups. So I don't love this. I'm at least giving it another week against Brisbane. If he scores another 3 or 4 against Brisbane, then yeah, great. We'll talk about him next week, but don't love that this week especially.
Fair enough. Caleb Smith, 127K defender, minus 4 break even, 29 average. That sounds pretty darn fucking bad, but very, very, very sub-affected averages there, Paddo.
Yeah, he's played 1 full game, and that was on the weekend for his 69. So, He played a full game against Brisbane for 22. It was Brisbane, and that was a very one-sided game. So, look, it's not great. This is literally scraping the barrel. It's not good. I think we're going to have to pay up a little bit this week, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. Now, before we move into trade-ins and our weird, weird suggestions... what's Essendon actually done and, like, requested by the AFL for these mid-season draftees?
So, for those that may not know, Wednesday night is the mid-season draft. So, teams that have a list spot available can select anyone from state leagues within Australia, basically. And Essendon play on Thursday night. So, in essence, they would have to have their team selected before the draft. And they have spoken to the AFL about getting approval to essentially draft someone on the Wednesday and have them debut the next night. So, you wouldn't even meet your teammates, which is kind of crazy if you rock up first day at work and you debut in the AFL. Well, it could be a mature age that's played before, but kind of crazy. But that's how bad the Essendon situation is. They're looking for anyone that can walk that is 6'6" and over and can play defense. So Yeah, we could get someone plucked from absolute obscurity and have them debut on Thursday night. So keep an eye on that. I mean, if it's a known name, like for example, an Oscar McDonald. I know he's already back in the AFL, but he's been dominating VFL for years now. Like if someone like that, who is a known name, that's like 99K, and you know pretty confident he's going to play because they've got fucking ACLs and hamstrings galore down there. Could be worth a trade-in, and you get the points for the short term. The other one is possibly a ruckman. Goldstein is pretty cooked. He's very old. Crossley. And, Crossley has been dominating the VFL. So he could come in and debut and probably be a 99K ruckman for us. So, and he would be the number one ruck, which is pretty juicy. So, yeah, just keep an eye on that situation. I wonder what the team list is going to look like, Dana. Are they just going to do a TBA on the teams on it Wednesday night? And yeah, because so Essendon could have up to 4 mid-season draft picks, which is kind of crazy. So they could pick like 2 or 3 key position players and a ruckman. And I mean, there's a chance 2 of them could play. They're talking about, because they play in Queensland, and they're talking about drafting a Queenslander just so they're already in the state, so they don't have to fly up on like Thursday morning before meeting your coaches, meeting your teammates, and debuting in the AFL, which is going to be a pretty crazy story if that does happen. But I think the AFL are going to approve it too, especially after what they just let Collingwood do on the weekend.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll go to trade-ins, and remember, everyone, check your buy structure for these bad boys. So, in defence, we will start with... I can't believe we're doing this. First one suggested Tom Stewart, 423K, 76 average, 3% owned, 87 break-even. Paddo, this feels disgusting, but I know why you're bringing him up. He's starting to look good. He's not copping any attention. He's got West Coast. Like, I know other podcasters are talking about him as well. So off your trot, what else do you have to say? Because I feel disgusting.
He drops below 500K every year, and it's usually off a suspension or an injury, and it gets really cheap. And then he just sort of finishes off really, really strong for the rest of the year. So last year, post-buy, he went 107, 97, 115, 105, 121, 139, 120, 76, 104. And then he had an injury affected 33 against the Eagles in just 40 minutes. So he was well on track for another ton there. I know he's old. I know he's got a horrible injury history. I know he feels like he gets suspended every single year for some sort of dog act. But we know his pedigree, and he's really, really cheap. Sure, it's risky. It's absolutely risky because it feels like Guthrie of the Zach variety and Lawson Humphreys have kind of taken the lion's share of that defense possession there. But, I mean, who knows? Stewart could come back into that CBA and then push back role that he did late last year and become a bit of an interesting option for us. I can understand if you want to see it a little bit more. He has not really had a CBA since round one. He had 50%, and then other than that, he's had one CBA for the rest of the year. So yeah, maybe you want to see it for another week. His break even is 87, which is manageable. However, he does have West Coast this weekend, so yeah.
Speaking of West Coast, Sandy Brock, 220K, 63 average, 11% owned, 5 break even. Now, I was talking about this guy recently. I know he was 99K. I think in a previous podcast, I even mentioned that it's kind of a guy that we missed. We mentioned him, but we kind of didn't jump on because at that stage, there were so many fucking different rookies going. And we're like, oh yeah, Brock's just going to come in for a couple of weeks, and then McGovern's going to be there. But since then, McGovern might even be fucking retiring, and it might be a forced retirement situation. So Brock's just out there intercept marking everything, and he's not going too badly. So he still presents value at 220K. So, Paddo, thoughts on Brock?
Yeah, the problem is he came in for McGovern and he was just listed as a concussion, which generally is a one-week thing. But now, the AFL are getting their people to basically assess him, and there's a chance he could get medically retired, as you said. So, of course, Captain Hindsight, like, he's a bad miss and he has already gone up over 120K. but he's possibly got another 100K to make. As you said, in that intercept role, he does play for the next 3 weeks. So this is the idea would be that you try and get another 100K out of him against Geelong North and Carlton, and then you flick him off at the bye for 320K, and you can make 200K by downgrading him, and you put that 200K on another rookie's head, and you try and get up to Callum Mills, for example, when he's on the bubble.
Yeah, no, don't mind. We'll go to midfielders. We're rapid-firing this fucking potty, everyone. Midfielders, Caleb Sarong, 5, 35K, 106 average, 27% owned, 95 break-even. This is the stereotypical discounted fallen primo throughout the season. You wait for these 600K-plus guys to drop. He's starting to find form. He's getting a little bit less attention now, Paddo, because Brayshaw's now starting to attract it. Don't mind it.
Yeah, I think it's a really strong option. The issue is you got him for 1 week and then he's got the bye. So if you do have a bunch of Freo and St Kilda players, look away. But if you're fine for that round 13 bye, he does have Gold Coast this week, who averages 106 against and had 121 against them last year. I mean, I just said Brayshaw's starting to get a bit more of that attention. So Sarong could well average 120 from this point onwards, and I would not be shocked. The kind of crazy thing is he's had one like really big spike game all year, and that was against the hardest midfield to score against in the Dogs, which is wild. But the coming up run, his next four opponents are Gold Coast, North Melbourne, Essendon, and St Kilda, which is pretty fucking juicy, if I don't say so myself. So yeah, he's a crazy price.
Yep. Now we've got Matt Riel next.
Speaking of crazy price.
Oh yeah, 485K, 105 average, 15% owned, 45 break even. Said to bring him in last week, Paddo. I didn't do it myself because I wanted one more week, but I knew that he was going to go 120 plus, and he did it again. Just like you said, he either goes sub 100 or 120 plus. And if you want a 120 plus guy for under 500K, Matty Riel is the bloke. And look, let's look at his run. So he's got Freo, Geelong, Giants. He actually doesn't mind playing the Giants or Geelong either. And the thing about Geelong is he's probably going to be like, hey, you guys want me? Give me a fat contract offer.
He'd be saying that to Cotton On because it's all under the table there.
Jesus. So yeah, he's got an okay-ish sort of run. It's an interesting one. I think I'll stand by what I said last week in that I think Real's going to start going on that run of form from last week onwards, and he'll continue it. And as you said, Paddo, he is basically 120 plus when he does go well.
Yep, 100%. And the run home isn't actually too bad. There aren't that many teams that do throw a tag in there in the run home. He's got the Giants in round 15, which, as you said, he doesn't actually mind playing against. Brisbane in round 20 isn't a good matchup, but then he follows that up against Richmond, and his last two are the Giants and Port Adelaide. So not great there, but at 485K, you can almost, I feel, lock in a 110 average from this point onwards, and that represents value. And with the cash gen the way it's looking, you could do a lot worse than Matt Rowell at M8.
And can I just say, he does have Adelaide in round 19, who he averages 120 against.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty mental stuff. So, yeah, don't mind the Matt Riel. Isaac Heaney, 530K, 102 average, 8% owned, 68 break-even. Sound like a broken record. We mentioned the guys that we mentioned last week again this week, Paddo, but they still present value. Heaney looks great with help in that midfield. Even if it's Sheldrick, he still looks good. Mills looks good. Like, he's got that help. He's got that little bit more of an outside play. And you want him feeding the ball and you want him having pot shots at goal. So I don't mind it. I don't know if Sydney are going to improve, but Heaney will go good.
Yep, agreed. He's getting 400 kicking goals now. Still got to 110 in a game they lost by 50 odds. So I think he's really good value. And I think there's room for improvement there. So 530 is a really good price. I want to do it, but that buy is not looking good for me. So I have to let him go. But I'll look back and rue not bringing him in because I think he's going to go really well for the rest of the year.
Speaking of which, Clayton Oliver, 463K, 97 average, 18% owned, which is wild to me, Paddo, that 18% of teams still go have shifts. Clayton Oliver, yeah. 47 break even. He looked like he had the shades of Clayton Oliver of old last week. When I was watching this, I was like, what the fuck's going on here? Where was this, Clary, when we were fucking all had you? So, yeah, I couldn't bring myself to trade him back in though, Pato, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does score well from now on.
Yeah, I really didn't want to put him on the run sheet, but I think with how he's looked the last couple of weeks since that one random tag game, he's looked really good. Still only the two scores above 100. So it does feel a little risky, but St Kilda and Collingwood in the next two, who he averages over 107 against both of those teams. Yeah, the value is really, really nice. I feel like if you did trade him out like I did, when he missed that week to go on the weekend bender, then you wouldn't want to trade him back in. But if you've never owned him this year, you might have seen enough and you might be tempted by the price tag.
Yep. I'm going to jump ahead, Pato, to Jai Caldwell to finish off the 400K guys. So 429K, 92 average, 0.5% owned, 97 break even. This is a bloke that I am strongly considering bringing in, Pato. We know what he can do. He's started to get going again. He's not going to be like a 140-plus guy. He might pop off one time this season for one, but he'll generally be that 110 guy. And honestly, I just want fucking some form of consistency in my team. And for a guy that we know that can score 110 consistently for 429K, I'm strongly considering it as we have a severe lack of these cash-generating rookies at the moment.
Well, if you want the consistency, I can recommend someone that's not on the run sheet, and that's Tuukka Miller. But
He's 130K, 120K more.
Yeah. Caldwell actually represents really good value. Now, he did have a few down games there, so he had the injury-affected game against Port Adelaide, missed 6 weeks, came back against Sydney and Western Bulldogs, very much easing back into things. His CBAs were slightly down in those two games, but they're back up again this week, 119 against Richmond. He went 129 and 118 for around 1 and 2. Almost feels like the main guy in there at the moment with Zach Merritt playing a bit more forward. So nice little cheeky POD here, clearly in fuck all teams. And I like it.
Yeah, same. Now, we've got three blokes under 300K here, Pato, that we're just saying they're mainly money cash grab opportunities because, again, it's fuck all cash-generating rookies. Everyone's really stuck at the moment. So the first one, Sam Berry of the Crom, 285K, 50 average, 0.2% of team, 7 break-even. Cracked well over 100 on the weekend. Probably won't do it again. This is like a very, very, very short-term play.
Well, he's had four sub-affected games, and then that's what he got in 92 minutes against the Eagles. And was in the CBA. So he's basically been playing as a fourth quarter midfielder all year in his four games. But there's a bit of opportunity here. And if he can get on a run of full games, granted he plays Sydney, Brisbane and Hawthorn, which are three very hard matchups. But Berry's the sort of guy that they would chuck on an Isaac Heaney to hang off him or a Lockie Neal. So he's going to be around the contest and get tackles galore because that's what he loves. He loves a cuddle. So, again, yeah, a quick 100K to flip him off on the bye, which is in round 15. He could get sort of 80 pluses if he can get the full games. But, again, the caveat is he may not get the full games.
Yeah, correct. This one's an interesting one. Kane McAuliffe, 287K, 81 average, 1% owned, minus 22 break even. Now, I was discussing this with Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach as an option myself, Pato. And we were discussing apparently Presty is plodding along in the VFL, but the more we looked at it, the more we actually don't mind Kane McAuliffe, even with knowing Presty is plodding along in the VFL and could come back any second. So, as a Richmond man, Pato, what are your thoughts on him?
I feel like we need to make a change in the midfield. I think statistically, of those that are getting bulk CBAs, Tim Taranto is basically the worst clearance player in the league. So I think we need to try and move him with Lawler going out. Possibly there's a spot there up forward for Taranto, as much as he's going to hate doing that. And it could be Prestia that comes in to the midfield group. So it might not affect McAuliffe. I feel like it should be Sonzi in there as an outside runner, but that's feels like it's never going to actually happen. But McAuliffe is a really solid short-term play. The round 14 bye really sucks because you only get 2 weeks out of him. But the last 2 weeks have been 96, 97, and he probably won't average that, especially with the Swans and Sydney in his next two. But if you can get 80 out of him for the next 2 weeks, he'll make a quick 100K. And again, it's that quick flip down to your bottom price rookies that we hopefully get out of the mid-season draft, or maybe Josh Smiley comes in, and still maybe maybe Trevaglia actually gets full games at halfback, and you make your money that way. So I think he's a really solid short-term play.
Yep, fair enough. Now, Paddo, after all of the everything was said and done last week, the rookie that we should have traded in was Angus Sheldrick. He's now 237K, 45 average, 5% owned, minus 24 break even. What the fuck? You think that Mills coming back would actually mean that Sheldrick would get dropped or something, and he ends up playing, still getting the midfield minutes and whatnot. So, yeah, look, is he still worth a punt?
Well, again, this is someone that spent 6 weeks as the sub, don't know, and didn't really score that good. And then all of a sudden he's had two, like, in essence, four games in a row. He only had 75 minutes against Carlton, but he had 1.1 point per minute. So he's been averaging 83 in the last two when he's not been the sub. Which is really, really nice. Mills misses this week, and then he plays Richmond. The problem is the sub vest, obviously, really concerning, and the fact that Sydney are getting beaten pretty horribly is not good either. But in the same token, they could start to look towards the future, and Sheldrick is one of those guys. So they could just give him all that faith, and once again, just like the last few, it's a quick cash grab, and then flick him off. Yep.
We'll go to the forward line now, Paddo. We're skipping the rucks. Cozzy Pickett, 500K, 103 average, 2% owned, 35 break even. Finally doing what Melbourne's been asking him to do for years. Go through stints in the midfield, fucking dominate. He honestly looks like an absolute match winner at the moment. He's got a 123 three-round average. The only problem is his floor is so shit. But he's killing it at the moment. So I can't justify paying 500K for him, though, Paddo.
Well, the thing is, the CBAs are there. He's averaging 63% CBAs on the year, which is really, really good for him. And he's scoring really well. And Melbourne are on a bit of a roll now. The issue, or slight issue, is that Jack Viney is due back this week. I feel like that probably affects Rivers more than Pickett. But... yeah, 500K is a lot to pay. He does have a low break even, so that is a bit of a positive for Cozzy in the fact that you could treat him a little bit like a Shea Bolton, where he'll make you a bit of cash and you could just flick him back to a Horn Francis or something. But it took a lot for me to put him on the run sheet, don't know, because I owned him late last year and I got too many 30s and 40s and it fucking killed me. But you can't keep ignoring him. He's killing it. His three-round average is massive.
I can ignore him.
And he's really fun to watch. So if you don't already have a Shea Bolton, I could argue as well if you don't have Isaac Rankin as well. I feel like you can't have two of these guys. I feel like you should only have one. I've got Rankin and Bolton, so I'm a bit of a hypocrite there. But I don't think if you have the other two, you should be looking at Cozzy Pickett at all.
Yeah, fair. Now, here we go. This is what we're getting to, Paddo. Shannon Neal. 290K, 58 average, 0.4% owned, minus 33 break even. This is a pure and simple cash grab play. He's had a mammoth score on the weekend. His run home is pretty good. He's got West Coast this week. He's got Richmond two times, much like the guy that we're also going to talk about after him. Like, it's pretty messed up. So 290K, thinking of different ways to make cash, could this be a really quick play?
It could be. If he backs up another 120 this week, which feels like a conservative estimation, considering it's West Coast. He goes up another 64K just this week alone. And then he's got the Suns the following week. If we give him a 75, he goes up another 46K. So that puts him at 400K with a matchup against Essendon, who may well have to use Isaac Kakko at fullback in that week. So we'll give him a 95 there. And he goes up another 21K and is 423K.
Yeah.
Heading into a matchup against Brisbane. So you could flick him off after those 3 weeks. You're banking on him having another big game against West Coast, which I don't even think is that far out of the realm of possibility. He kicked 5 goals against the Dogs, which is not easy to do. He's not even getting bulk CBAs. Like, it's not like he's coming in and he's playing as the main ruck. Like, he's playing forward. He's getting hit outs. He's the backup ruck. But he's got a negative 33 break even. Like, his worst case scenario, he scores like 60, which is probably the floor against West Coast, and he still makes 44K this week or 40K this week.
Yeah.
With still a low-ish break even for the game against the Suns. So I'm probably looking at Shannon Neal this week, in all honesty. I don't love bringing a primo in this first buy, and those long-time listeners will know that. I like to use this week to either fix up some dead rookies or just downgrade the rookies that have sort of hit the high break even and are on the buy this week. So, yeah, I really like Neil.
Yeah, his teammate Jeremy Cameron, though, 438K, 83 average, 4% owned, 39 break even. Could go absolutely bonkers against all those teams that you mentioned, Paddo. So, yeah, we know how good he can be. The only problem is we also know his floor too.
Yeah, but the run is just so fucking good. Again, West Coast this week, he dropped 143 against them last year. If McGovern doesn't play, I mean, he's had 2 tons already in a row, so he's starting to hit some form. Could be pretty scary over the next 4 weeks. Like, Suns next week, he's actually kind of tough because Collins is a really good defender. But then Essendon the following week, Brisbane's not good. Then he has a bye, then Richmond following the bye.
Mm.
And by that stage, like, if he averages 100 or 105 in that time, he's probably just a keeper because he plays the Giants, which is a really tough matchup. But then it's St Kilda, North Melbourne, Port Adelaide, Essendon, Sydney, Richmond. Like, off that, I would say there's probably 3 top 8 teams in the run home for Geelong.
Messed up, isn't it?
Suns, Giants, that's it, 2. Oh, Brisbane. Like, how do they keep getting kissed on the dick every... Anyway, I don't want to get mad about Geelong again. But, there's a world where you could bring Cameron and Neil in. Neil is a cash grab, Cameron as a keeper. And, yeah, like, he's a VC option against some of their stellar dwellers because he can go 160.
Yeah, no, I agree. Last one, who I have mentioned before and you didn't like, but now he's on the run sheet, Xavier O'Halloran, 287. I'd fucking... Oh, when I saw this, I was like, yeah, fuck you, Paddo. 287K, 50 average, 2% owned, 24 break even. Mate, I'm liking what I'm seeing at the moment with Xavier. He's going all right. When he's not the sub, he's not going to get you 110 plus and shit like that, but he's just that gritty guy that will go through the midfield at the moment, which in a midfield that is so depleted too, Paddo, he is stepping up. And I like it. And he's got forward status, playing in the middle. Like, I don't know how much he's going to go up, but, yeah, he's going to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, not a horrible... I don't think it's the best short-term grab. When, like, for 3K more, I think Neil is a much better option, in all honesty. But it could be a nice little quick cash grab.
Yep.
Probably one I probably missed, Dano, is Toby Green. 372K, 85 average, 3% of teams. Scored 127 on the weekend, but it's not, obviously we're not bringing him in because of that. He plays Richmond this week. He could make another 50K this week by going 140 plus in CBAs plus goal kicking, which he's been getting. Then plays Port Adelaide, Brisbane, Gold Coast leading into the bye. So again, another cash grab, but the CBA role is actually not great for Toby. You prefer him up forward because that's where he impacts the game. But, yeah, not the worst little option there for the price.
Okay. Well, we'll go to question time. And literally we've got none on X. And we've got 2 questions on Facebook. And they're not really valid questions. So one's Peter saying, so when does Team Picker 2026 launch? considering he's got a higher rank out of both of us. So, fuck him. And then the other one's Lloydy saying, do you have any rookies for sale?
No, but I hope we've given you something to think about, Lloydy, with some of these 200 or so K guys that have really good break evens and good runs as well. We didn't want to chuck in a bunch of guys that play like fucking Brisbane and the Dogs and all that. Like we've given you guys that we're pretty confident will score well enough to make cash and hopefully give you something to think about in terms of that cash gen and guys that most likely won't get the sub best, except Sheldrick is probably the one that could get it.
All right. Well, we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing because every week we give you all VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. And in honour of James, he's been working apparently a fair bit at the moment, so he hasn't been able to get his questions in. But as we know, he always asks for Tag Watch. So we'll do Tag Watch as well. So, Paddo, Thursday night, Brisbane versus Essendon at the Gabba. Who you got and what's the Tag Watch as well?
I don't know if there will be a tag in this game. Actually, Darren might go to someone, but he's that big a body, so he'll probably go maybe to a McCluggage or Dunkley. But I like Lachie Neal in this game. 166 against the Bombers last year. They don't really have anyone that can lock down on him. So if I didn't have he may be my VC. Might try and get it out of the way early because I'm actually going away this weekend and might not be able to watch too much footy and won't be around on my phone. So might get it out of the way Thursday. Yeah, I really like Lachie Neal.
I really like Zach Merritt in this one.
You don't think they're going to get smashed?
Well, for some reason, he still goes okay against Brisbane, even though they're shit. Let me quickly bring it up because I was having a look at him because I was actually tempted to trade him in, but then I'm going to opt for Caldwell anyway, probably because he's just so much cheaper. So, 135 last year. Prime example, Zach Merritt versus Brisbane. I don't know what his career stats are versus Brisbane. Oh, yeah, okay. So, out of all teams, he averages the most against Brisbane. Okay, so there you go, Paddo. So, he averages 114.8 over his career against Brisbane, and that is the highest of any team. The second highest he averages against is Collingwood. Oh, wait, no, sorry, is West
Surely
Coast
Richmond.
At 100. Nah, West Coast at 114.1 is the closest. Next closest. So, yeah, I'm going to say Zachie Merritt just for his career history against Brisbane and his most recent score. Remember, he said Tag Watch. So, do we think that a Nick Martin can pop off again? He's been getting some CBAs.
Yeah, not against Brisbane. I feel like this will be a really one-sided game. And I feel like the only one that could pop off for Essendon is probably Zach Merritt. Not really anyone else. Nick Martin averages something like 115 against the bottom teams, but then like 80 against the top teams. So
yeah, fair enough. We'll move on. Friday, Collingwood versus Hawthorn. Now, I'm going to go with Tag Watch first because I was looking at trading in Nick Dacos. I still don't own him.
Yeah,
no,
I don't.
Really cheap, but then I looked. He's got Hawthorn, Finn McGuinness.
Yeah, no, not this week. Yeah, if you don't have Dacos, he's prime for the pick-in next week against Melbourne, which annoys me because of the price that I paid for him. I think I paid about 580K for him. So, yeah, not ideal, but actually you may as well just wait for after the bye because he's got the bye in 2 weeks. So, yeah, could be about 500K by then, which is very painful.
Anyone else in this game? Because that was my Tag Watch was Finn McGuinness on Nick Dacos.
I don't know if I love anyone else in this game. But both teams have guys that can go off. Jack Crisp is in really good form, but he's in no one's team. No.
Okay, we'll move on. Saturday, first one at People First Stadium, 1:20 p.m. is the Suns versus the Dockers. Take your pick.
Brayshaw, I really like.
Brayshaw, Sarong, friggin' Anderson, even Rowell.
Yeah, Took, many of those guys.
Maybe. Took's probably not in that category yet.
No.
Ultra consist. Fuck Luke Jackson. I know that he's up against Wits, but
they might even rest Wits.
Yeah, this is what you're on the same wavelength as me because Dimmer did say that he's going to rest Wits at time throughout the season, and I don't think he's done it yet.
No, he did for the Cairns game.
Ah, there you go.
Against the Hawks, which wasn't actually that far long ago. I mean, it could be also a case of like if Sean Darcy's back, that's not a horrible matchup, but he's not going to want Wits to chase around Luke Jackson all day. He's just too quick and agile. So could be a matchup thing for him.
Yep. Anyone else?
Not in that game, no. This next one's
Giants versus Richmond, 4:15 p.m. at Engi Stadium.
Some reason the history isn't good, but something tells me Whitfield should go off in this game.
Fun fact, Tim Mitchell traded in Whitfield last round.
Yeah, fucker.
Guess who he's taken?
And he landed. He lined up at half forward, for fuck's sake.
Guess who he is looking at bringing in this round?
Oh, no. Someone else in my team, no doubt.
Nah, Lockie Ash.
Oh, good. I don't have him in my team.
And I'm like, no, don't stop the run. Don't do it, fucking. Yeah, he's looking at bringing in Lockie Ash. Hopefully he doesn't do it. But Tom Green in this one for me. I reckon he'll go 120 easily.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Who do you think Bedford goes to?
I don't think, honestly, sounds so bad. They'll either tag Taranto or don't they won't tag at all.
Give him a rest. They don't need him this week.
Honestly, we could see, like, he could just end up playing forward pocket.
Jesus.
Like, he was drafted as a forward, so. Yeah, I don't really like anyone else.
No.
And I'm not saying Lockie Ash for the simple reason is Tim Mitchell's, if he trades him in, he's not going to go well. All right, Sydney versus Adelaide at 7:35 at the SCG.
Heaney's got a really good record against Adelaide. Yeah, this is a pretty gross game.
Dawson?
Dawson does have a good record against Sydney. I can't help but think that he will get the Jordan tag, even though he's been playing on halfbacks recently. Adelaide don't have a halfback that's even worth thinking about in terms of negating. So
can I just
pretty certain he goes straight to Dawson.
Dean Cox electing to tag Jake Bowie?
Yeah.
Well, that was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, considering Cozzy Pickett was playing the way he was. Like, Cozzy Pickett could have kicked, what, 7 goals, was it? Like, he kicked 5 goals, 4, and had 24 touches.
Mental.
Like, and that wasn't worth a tag. Oliver, not really taggable, but you can put a bit of pressure on him. Petrarca, yeah. Like, even Langdon. Langdon had 31 touches and looked okay. Like, just really strange.
Yeah, it was very weird. Anyway, don't really like anyone else in this game?
No.
No, okay. Sunday, we got, where the fuck? We're in Alice Springs. Melbourne versus St Kilda.
I tell you what, they better not rest Max Gorn in this.
Imagine the scene.
He averages 108 up there. And didn't he go nuts against Marshall? Yeah, 180 last year. The thing is, with the bye, you could almost VC Gorn if you have Jeremy Cameron.
Feral. Anyone else? If you don't own Gorn, for those non-Gorn owners out there.
I can't help but think, like, Cozzy Pickett could go off up in Darwin.
Oh, no.
You don't think? He's from up there.
No.
Let's see how he plays in Darwin.
As a captain?
No, it'd be as a VC.
You're relying on the next, like, one of the guys that...
You have a 62.
...to actually play in the next game?
Well, it depends on if someone plays or not.
That's what I mean. The one that loves a sniff might not even play in the next game.
Yeah, and you won't know whether he's a laid out or not either.
You don't like Petrarca?
I just feel like there'll be some sort of shenanigans there. It's like Ross Lyon's coached in some weird games. Like I think back to that Freo game a few weeks ago where it's like when Shea Bolton had 6 and Brayshaw didn't score well and Sarong didn't score well and, like, it was just a horrible game. And that's the sort of things that can happen with Ross Lyon.
Yep, fair. We'll move on to the last game then. West Coast Eagles versus Geelong at Optus Stadium, pretty much. So if Bailey Sniff does play, he's got to be a good shout. If not, like you said, Jeremy Cameron's an interesting shout.
Shannon Neal.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit. We were saying Marek for weeks until last week.
The fake primo.
Yeah. He was never a primo. He's always a cash generator.
The thing with Bailey Smith is that we should know whether or not he's in Perth, and I feel like if he flies to Perth, he's playing.
Next minute, he's going off to a retreat.
Oh, what, the Daniel Kerr retreat?
And
the Ben Cousins retreat.
Tag watch in this one. Like, would they tag him if he plays?
They could try, but he's untaggable.
He's not untaggable. Bedford, I reckon, could tag him.
Isn't he averaging the most out of anyone in Supercoach? Oh, no, not anymore. The two Ruckman are.
Hang on.
No, he's not. Brayshaw's even ahead of him.
Hang on. Holy shit, he's 621k.
Oh, yeah.
Bedford didn't tag him. He got 154. So, yeah, he's...
I'm telling you, he's untaggable.
Yeah, when did he have his down games? He's had two down games. 80, Brisbane 81. And Hawthorn. Yeah. Oh. Paddo, what's your ex formerly known as Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. You can find us on Facebook as well. Supercoach Co-Captains. I'm also going to be on the Nerds for Life Supercoach podcast this week. Shout out to Peter for that one, even though you picked the worst week for me to fucking do it, but whatever. Had my shittest score ever this season, Paddo, and he decides, oh, now I'll pick Dano to come on. So, what an asshole. Nah, but that should be a bit of fun. Some bants, and to be honest, the run sheet is quite similar to ours, Paddo, in that we're all looking at similar ways to try and generate some cash. So, anyway, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.